need Jesus. We couldn't do it without Jesus. You know, we couldn't conquer this on our own. Some of us tried that. We tried to do this on our own. We tried to beat whatever needed to get beaten. We couldn't do it. We tried it with willpower. We tried it with money. We tried it with influence. We tried it with all kinds of different things. The only way that we could find peace, listen, the only way we could find peace was through Jesus Christ. And the only way Jesus made that possible is by being raised from the dead, by defeating even death. Amen? He's a mighty Savior. I see him in your eyes. I see the shine, the light shining in you. We sang about the mountains. And maybe you're here this morning, you're going, yeah, I got some mountains in my life. There's some hard things. All I see is, you know, sometimes when you're in the forest, all you see is just the tree. You're standing right there. He can remove whatever the mountains are. He's done it. For many of us here today, he's going to keep doing that, right? He takes down the mountains, and he shows us that there is a smooth road. It's not always easy, but it's a road that is level. That's what Isaiah said, that the way of Jesus is the way. He's prepared the way so that we can follow him. It's not easy. Sometimes it's a long and winding road, but we know where it's going. Amen? I'm going to read this again. This was something that Amanda shared a couple weeks ago, and I just really felt impressed this morning to just repeat it. I think we need to hear this. I think this is a prophetic word for us. I believe this, and I'm starting to see it. I hope you are too. She wrote this, that she saw, this is a prophetic word. God gave her this word for our church. I saw a dry, rocky land, and as I was seeing across it, God focused me on a crack in the land. And the crack was an opening to the land that was made into a tomb. It opened and it kept going. And then I saw thousands upon thousands of people coming up out of the tomb. And they were beyond beautiful. They were glowing, not from light that was shining on them, but they were glowing from light that was allowed to flow out from them. God's glory and light was shining through them and out of them. And now I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to read it again. Because I know when I hear it, I don't really listen to it until I hear it at least a second time. So one more time, just let this absorb. Just let this, because this is a word of hope. This is what God's doing. There's a light that's shining out of you. If you just look around a little bit and you're allowed to do that, you'll see it. It's in the people sitting beside you and behind you. There is light coming out of this place. And there was a darkness, and there was a crack, but that crack turned into a tomb. And out of the tomb comes resurrection, and out of the resurrection comes light. And it isn't, I like this part of it, it isn't just light that shines on you, it's a light that shines through you. I saw a dry, rocky land, and as I was seeing across it, God focused me on a crack in the land. The crack was an opening to the land that was made into a tomb. It opened and kept opening. Then I saw thousands upon thousands of people coming up out of the tomb, and they were beyond beautiful. They were glowing, not from light that was shining on them, but they were allowing God's glory and light to shine through and out of them. That is God's word for Potter's Hands. Amen? Amen. There's a couple of people that are going to share a bit of a testimony here this morning. Luke and Gaston, actually. But just before Luke comes up, a couple of announcements. I think there's, it was a prayer on Thursday night, right, Alvin? Alvin, yeah. You're with us still? Yeah. Just nudge him, okay? You know, he thinks I'm preaching. I'm not even preaching yet, and he's sleeping. Okay. Lift up Red Deer Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Memorial Center? Festival Hall, yeah. Okay, and I believe there's also Praise in the Park this coming weekend on Sunday evening. Nope. Okay. Saturday? Don't come Sunday. Saturday. Okay. Okay. Okay, so Saturday night there will be a concert in the park of praise and worship. In Bower Ponds? Bower Ponds, okay. And then one other thing is on Sunday then, next Sunday, a week from today in the afternoon, we're going to have a barbecue at our house. So just like we do quite often, just invite you to come. Bring a dessert, bring a salad. We'll provide the meat and buns. And let's just, it's going to be a nice day, I think, at 4 o'clock. We'll start Sunday. Next Sunday, 4 o'clock. Tell people who aren't here today, let's just have a good time of fellowship and eat some burgers and sing some songs and do some worship. It should be nice enough that we can do that outside. Amen? Luke, why don't you come on up? Little encouragement, little encouragement.
Hi. Hello. Last week was Mother's Day, and as Stan was talking, I realized that I had probably one of the most wonderful mothers in the world. And I just started thinking about all the things that have happened over through my life because of my mom. And I asked Dan last week if I could share a little bit of that because I want to do a little bit of a tribute to my mom. You guys all see her now, and she's a big smiley woman that's always got a hug for everybody. But a lot of people don't really know her, you know. And I am who I am today because of my mom. And I gladly say that. I have no problem saying that. My mom's prayers have brought me to where I am today, which isn't always a good place either, but it's a lot better than where I was. Yeah. My mom made a statement to me quite a few years ago. She says, I was in school, and I don't know if she went to a Catholic school or if she went to, but in Holland, all the schools were very religious, I guess. And one of her teachers said, you give me a child till she's 12, and I'll make him a good Catholic. And my mom said to herself, you give me a child till it's 12, and I'll raise it to love you, Lord. And I'm one of those, you know. When I was very, very young, probably 4, 5, 6 years old, actually, I'm going to go even back further than that. All I ever remember my whole life long, right from the time I can remember up until I left home, every day, every morning before we went to school or when we got up before even school, we'd always have breakfast and Dad would read us a story out of the children's Bible and would always pray. That was in the morning. Every meal we prayed, before and after actually. We thank God for the meal and then we thank God for everything else after. And then at supper time, it was devotion time, and the whole family sat around the kitchen table and Dad would pick up the Bible and would read, not necessarily a whole chapter, but whatever it took, and then would pray again. I grew up with that my whole life, not understanding the significance of it. And we had lots of friends that came over to our house for supper and stuff like that, and they all were amazed at this. We did it faithfully every day. There was never a day that we missed this. And both my mom and my dad were very faithful with this thing. And so over the years, I got a pretty good understanding of the word because it was read to me every day. And then when it wasn't read to me, we had to read it ourselves. Mom made us even actually memorize parts of the Bible when we were kids and would give us a nickel for every, I don't know, so many verses that we could memorize. But, you know, and at the time I hated it, but it instilled things in me. And the Bible says you raise up a person in the way that they should go and they won't depart from it. And that's Proverbs. And, well, I'm very, very fortunate to have the heritage that I have. I remember as a kid, I wanted to evangelize my whole neighborhood, and I did. Oh, as a matter of fact, you couldn't be my friend if you didn't want to come to church with me. I didn't know better, but that was my way, you know. But I had a zeal for God. All my life, in my younger years, all I wanted to do was serve God. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that looked like. And God's taken me on a journey of that, and it's had its ups and downs, and it's had its whatever. But you know what? It's still been a journey. And the heritage that I have today, and what I know to be true, it gives me life. It gives me life. And I want to share that with everybody, you know? And my teenage years, I was a normal kid. I was a very rebellious kid, and I got into all kinds of trouble. But you know what? In spite of everything, there still is gnawing feeling in the depth of my heart that I needed to serve God and that I love God. And, you know, I remember at 17, 18 years old telling God, you know, God, I know you're real. I know, but I need to find out things for myself. And I went on a journey of partying and doing what most 18, 19, 20-year-old kids do and getting in trouble and drinking and, you know, you name it, I did it. And I remember sitting at a bar talking with a guy one time, and the topic of God came up in the bar. And my ears immediately perked up because for whatever reason, that was still in the very depth of me, it was who I was. You know, I love to talk about God. But I listened to this conversation, and I just looked at them all and said, you guys are crazy. That's not what God is. And I started to share with them in the bar who I thought God was. And it left everybody speechless. And it even left me speechless because I didn't even live that kind of life, you know. But I knew it. I just knew it. I just knew that God was real. And God had mercy on me. At 21, I gave my life to the Lord, and that was a very interesting thing. But my mom, I'm the oldest of five kids. My mom raised five kids, and all of us know God, every one of us. And that is the legacy that I want to leave for my mom. We all really love God because my mom raised us that way. And how you raise your kids will make an impact on them later. You might not think so now, but it will, because here I am.
Oh, amen. So if you raise your kids well, they'll turn out just like Luke. No, you know, that's I shouldn't make fun of that. That's really a biblical principle, and I appreciate what you shared. Thank you for godly moms. Thank you for Ricky. Praise God. Thank you for women, for mothers, for fathers who raise their children so that they come and know who Jesus is. And someone said one time, there's nothing you can take with you. The only thing you can take with you when you die, the only thing, you can't take your money, you can't take your house, you can't take your tent trailer. The only thing you can take with you when you die is your children. And you do that by sharing Christ, just letting them know who Jesus is. So that was awesome. Ricky, I hope you are honored by your son today. And we honor you too. We love you. We're so glad to hear that and see that you're doing better. And that you're, you know, God is healing you every day, and that you're well, you got a spark in your eye. I'm just going to pray over you a minute, okay? So, God, thank you. Thank you for this mother of Israel, not just a mother to Luke and Anita and Ruth Ann, but she's been a mother to many of us here. Thank you, God, for her faithfulness. Thank you that I see Jesus shining in her every time. Praise you, God. Amen. My friend Gaston.
Thank you. You know, this journey of having a relationship with Christ is all about faith. We have entered in by faith. So the Lord says to me, he says, I wrote the book, the Bible, for you to read, because I knew you needed to go back to it. You need to go back to it. So he said to me, not, real quickly, it's a question. Okay, so he says to me, he said, Gaston, you know, I wrote the word for you, but you don't listen. I said, why? What did I do? And he says, well, you don't do what it says in there. He said, you should pray every day pray so that the devil stay away from you. I said, well, I pray. But he said, yeah, but sometimes you just pray to say thank you for the food. And sometimes that's really quick. That's not really, really entering into me and really. So I said, okay, I hear that. But he said, there's a consequences when you don't do what I tell you to do. If I tell you to pray with me and be have a relationship with me every day, it's because then that will protect you. That will protect you. But he said, if you don't, then you lose your protection. And there's certain things that happen when you lose your protection. And I said, what is that? You know, I'm having a relationship with God. God's talking to me. And he said, what is that? He says, well, you know, you don't pray enough. You just go about like the rest of the world. They'll pray over food. He said that the problem with that is that the devil will come and convince you of things that are not of me. So I said, what was that? I said, that has happened? He said, yes. He said, you have belief system in you. You have a few belief system that you have had in your life for a long time, and you have not come against it. And I said, what is that? He said, that's unbelief. So my life as a Christian, he told me, he said, you have unbelief, and you have not attacked it, you have not come against it, you actually lived with it, you agreed with it. You have not come against it. And I said, oh, well, show me that. Well, show me three things, but I don't remember two of them now, so I only remember one. And that would be too long anyways, three of them anyways. So one of them, he says to me, he says, you have not, when somebody talks to you about healing, says somebody, I had a friend that had cancer, and he was healed. But for me, it was like, I could not go there. Like, I would not believe that people could be healed to that point. I would not enter into a place where people lay hands on you and pray for you to be healed. I did not have that belief. So he said, the Lord says to me, he says, you have unbelief in me because I say I healed. So how come you don't believe me? So I said, okay, Lord, you know, I have a heart for God. If God talks to me with wisdom like that, I'll say, okay, and next time I see unbelief in my heart, I'm gonna go after it. I'm not gonna show you one thing, that the devil comes with unbelief. He would attack me, and it was really hard for me. He would say I'd be watching a video about in Syria, and there'd be children dead on the street. And the devil would come to me when I watched that, and he would say, what kind of God is that? He would attack my God to me. He said, what kind of God is that would allow this to happen? So he would attack me right there. You see the unbelief possibility here? He's attacking my God to me. My God is what I need to survive. He's my power. He's that's where I go to trust. That's where I throw my prayer at. And I give him my prayer. If I don't believe that so he's indirectly was undermining God in these bad things. And I wouldn't fight it. I just suffer it. But it would limit me as a Christian. It would limit my power to move in and heal the sick or even to pray for somebody. I would walk right by the people that were sick, wanting to pray for them and never really doing it. No courage. I had no courage to pray for the sick. When God said very clearly that he said, you could, you can. So, I'm nervous. So the Lord's, I'm telling you all of this because that has a point. My testimony today is about God's power. He said, as you gather here, together, he said, he's in the midst. He said, when you gather in his name, he's here. So right now he's here. Okay, so I went to a meeting in Edmonton last weekend, Sunday night. And there was a preacher there. And he was a good teacher. And he taught 2 hours about healing. And it was quite interesting. But he was a man of faith. He was really speaking faith. for 2 hours, he says, he does that everywhere across the world, and he says when he talks for 2 hours about faith, through the word and through, he says, this is a prayer meet, like there was 450 of us there, but people were coming there because it was a healing meeting. People would come because they were sick. So they expected prayer. They expected prayer. Some of them expected to be healed. And this guy, they saw him as being the preacher that would lead them into prayer for healing. So he taught for 2 hours about healing. And part of his teaching was, he says, when I speak for 2 hours about healing, I see the people's faith rise. I see people's faith rise. When you start talking about prayer and Christ and how Christ wants to heal you, your faith increase. He says, I see it. Then he asks the people, he says, if you get healed, I want you to raise your hand, wave your hand like this. Only if you feel you've been healed for 80%. If you've only been healed for 50%, don't raise your hand. Just only if you've been healed 80%. Then he says, in the meeting that he goes to, like he goes to Singapore, who was he? He was a guy from Toronto. Randy Clark. So some of you know him. He goes everywhere, does that every day. But the significant thing here was with him, he says that, okay, while he was talking for 2 hours, he says, I want you to tell me if some of you came in tonight, there's 450 people here, some of you came in tonight expecting to be healed, do you feel that maybe you've been healed already? So 12 people went like this, 80%. And he said, you notice something? We have not prayed yet. He said, that happens in every meeting that I go to. When I start talking about prayer or healing, people get healed right there without prayer. He said, that happened 10% of the time. 10 people got healed without being touched. Why? Because God is here. Right now, God is here. Okay, so I went for prayer later. I went for prayer in a line of prayer. It says, 10% of the people will get healed without being touched because their faith has risen to meet what's available. And another 10% will receive healing through the laying your hands. Lay my hands on you. Right? And then there was another 10% I forgot now. I'll remember later. But so I... Oh, yeah, I remember now. So there's a volunteers to the church, people that are called, and Doug was there. They called him out. There was maybe, 16, you said yesterday? 16 people. And they all said, individually, said, one of them said, I feel led to pray for somebody that has a sore back. And the other guy says, I feel led to pray for somebody that has lost their hearing. And so they all have different disease that they felt led to pray for. So he said, they say to the congregation, pick one. You know, I felt led to go to somebody that says, I want to pray for people that have lost their hearing, because I had 30% on each side lost their hearing. 30% is quite significant. So when I was in a group, in a loud group, I couldn't hear, like this crowd, I couldn't hear. If you're in front of me, if you talk to me directly, I could hear that. But you would often see me, I would go like this. I'd listen, because I wouldn't hear. So I wanted that. There's a lot of other things I wanted to be healed for, but I had to choose. Praise the Lord. So I went there. And I was in line with someone. And I said to this guy, he was waiting for a hearing too. And I said, how can you get closer to God right now? He said, I don't know. I said, you can't. You come in the midst of him, like you come together in his name. He said, he's in the midst, right? He's in you. You're born again. He lives in you. How can you get closer to him? He's here. See, we live there. We live in unbelief. There's a lot of unbelief. We forget that he heals. So I said, go and get your healing. But I was right behind him. I was waiting for mine. But I was speaking faith there. You see it? I lost unbelief. I make one step forward with my unbelief. I feel God here. Like, you know, some of us are anointed to heal. My wife needs healing. She has a sore back today. Those are called, should go. The pastor do this thing. We're all equipped to do something. We should go out and do it. If you're an evangelist, go get some souls. Do it. So anyways, I'm in line. I get my prayer. I got prayed for. And I went home. It was 11 o'clock at night. I got lost. I had a hard time getting out of Airdrie. It was 11 o'clock. We never made it home till 1. Well, now, when you come out of a meeting that is of God, usually you're led by God to stay in God. So God, my wife said, why don't we pray? So I prayed for my friends. And so I take the family. I pray for the mother, the father, the grand, the children. I pray for everybody, right? So I'm telling you two miracles here. I'm almost there for me. Almost there. So I'm telling you why I prayed for this family. It means nothing to you, but it's very significant for me. Because the next day, two things happens on Monday. I live in this beautiful acreage. I'm surrounded by trees. And I have two beautiful dogs. I go out in the morning, early in the morning. Dogs like to go out for a pee. Time to go. And I live on an acreage. So I go out. I come back in. And I said to my wife, I said, holy moly, there sure is a lot of birds today. There sure is a lot of birds there. I heard about 30 birds there and different songs. It was beautiful, a beautiful morning like today. And she says to me, well, you must have been healed because usually you don't hear birds. They're always there. These birds are always there. But I never hear them. So my hearing was healed. You know how wonderful it is to hear birds? That's sweet, eh? Another, isn't that sweet? I was there this morning. I tested again. Beautiful birds. Another thing, interesting. So I pray for a different family, different friends. I have a big family. And, you know, over time, we have a lot of friends over time. Sometimes you don't know what happened, but some of them just fall off. They stop calling, but you love them. They were close, but they just stop calling. And you stop calling, they stop calling. But you try to insist on bringing them back, but they don't. And then a year of having no relationship, a year and a half, right? No call, nothing. So that was Monday again. Monday afternoon, I come home. And I come. My wife says, guess who called? I said, I don't know who called. She said, Pat called. Well, Pat is part of the family that I prayed for on the way home. Yeah. She called and she asked Kara, she says, it's my birthday on Monday. Why don't we do something? So for me, it was significant because I prayed for her. I didn't know that maybe in a spiritual, there was something blocking her from coming in, coming back. But, you know, I asked my friend, I thought he had wisdom. He says, you express love by praying for them. You know, that's the love of God, to pray for strangers or to pray for family or to pray genuine prayer, right? That's love. He said, you extended love to them, and I guess spiritually that something broke, she was free to express love to you. Faith, prayer, belief. Go after your own belief. You see it, go after it. And I tell you, it will give you a peace because God's in you. Believe it and go and let it out. Let it out. Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Okay, do we believe that? Amen. Amen. That's exciting. It's encouraging. Lots of good reports. It says in Revelation that we overcome the enemy. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we've heard really a couple very strong testimonies already today. And there's more. I know there's more. So let's keep doing that. We keep testifying. And it's really true. You know, we pray and God answers those prayers. And there are mountains in our lives, but he can take those mountains down. So if you've come here today and you're going, man, I really need this in my life, or maybe it's a healing. Let's have opportunity for that today. Let's be open to that. Maybe, you know, after Pauline has spoken, we'll have opportunity to pray for one another or whatever that is. Let's just go with however the Holy Spirit will lead us so that we are open to Him. Pauline, why don't you come on up so we can pray. Jesus said that true worshipers would worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the truth is the Word of God. And that's why we always give a good portion of our time to the Word of God so that we are under the preaching of the Word and the instruction of the truth of His Word. So let's pray for our brother today as he brings the message. So God, thank You that You have given us Your Word, that the Bible is truth, and that You speak to us and You explain it to us and You show us all the things that we need to know. So we pray today for Brother Pauline and ask that You will help him to speak clearly and let the truth of God be revealed. We're excited to hear You. We love Your Word. Like Luke said, it's the Word of God that's planted in our hearts, even when we're very young, that bears great fruit later on. So we just sit under this Word, eager to hear what You want to say today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Word say that there is a coincidence. But those of you who believe in God, who orchestrates and arranges and made things happen in every way, you don't call it coincidence. You call it God's incidence. When that prophetic word was read by Pastor Sun again, I think it is in line with the message that I'm going to share with you today, because it's that light is not only shining out of you. I should say the reverse. It's not only shining on you, but it is coming out or shining out of you. And that is the purpose of God in vesting or giving us life of the power of resurrection. He gives it not because so that we are pleased in having it, but we have been given the power of God, power of resurrection, so that we can let it out. Again, this is another God incident. The last word that I remembered, Brother Gaston said when he finished his testimony is, let it out, let it out, let it out. What a God's incident. So today, let's pay our attention to the Word of God. I'd like all of us to read together this one single verse from Mark 13, 34. So we'll read this all together in unison. Maybe you want to refer to your Bible, but if we read it all together from the screen, it'll be unified because of the same translation. So let's read it. 1, 2, 3. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. That is the reading of the Word of God. And may He add blessing to the reading of His Word. So that's the story actually about Jesus after He rose from the dead and then He showed Himself 40 days that he is really alive, and then he ascended up to heaven. So he has gone. So the church is left here on this earth. But it does not mean that the church being left alone here will be at the pity of the enemies to attack it all the time. No. God has left something for his church. He has left his power. I'd like to read again in John chapter 14 and verse 13 until 14. Those of you who have brought your Bible, you can open to John 14. I'll be reading verse 13 and verse 14. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. For that is what I am. Verse 14. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. One thing that I'd like to emphasize today in this message is that God has given us, our Lord Jesus has given us, this is a term which is like a legal term, which is called the power of attorney. If you read the Bible, so many times you will find the phrase, words there that says, in my name. Or in his name, or in Jesus' name, or in the name of Jesus. I don't think we use this enough in faith. We just take it for granted. At the end of our prayer, we say, in the name of Jesus. But we don't really understand how much weight, how much power, and how much, I should say, authority that God has put into the power of attorney. Power of attorney is a legal arrangement. Let me give you this. Many of you understand this. It's a legal arrangement. If you, for example, you have a business or you want to do something, you don't do it yourself, you can assign or you can appoint someone to do it for you. So that becomes a legal transaction. And that is what is called the power of attorney. Now I mentioned that Jesus ascended to heaven, gone back to heaven, and he has been there now for over 2,000 years, and he said, I go back to my Father to prepare a place for you. And then while he is gone, he gives us something to do. And we are to do this thing. We are to do this work of God based on the power of attorney that he has given to us. If you do it in your own name, His kingdom will, God's kingdom will never advance. If you do it in your own wisdom or strategy, the enemy is more powerful than you. I'm telling you. So unless you have that power of attorney in operation, you do it by faith, we lose the battle. We lose the war. But thank God, that's why all over the scriptures, we find this term, and Jesus taught it to his church, to you believers, especially today, that we need to use the power of attorney in my name, in his name, in Christ's name, in everything that we do as it pertains to the kingdom of God. You know, if you use that term, if you use that phrase, in the name of Jesus, the devils are powerless. Devils are powerless because of Jesus' name. And if you read at the end of the book of Mark, chapter 16, the disciples cast out their demons or devils in the name of Jesus. Talking about healing, just like the testimonies that we have heard this morning, healing also occurred in the name of Jesus. Read the book of Acts. Even salvation comes or occurred in the name of Jesus, because God hasn't given any other name through which man will be saved except the name of Jesus. This is almost summer. Maybe we'll see some people to be baptized by immersion. This church will do that also in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of Porter Hands Ministries, no. We'll do it in the name of Jesus. And talking about justification, you and I have been justified in his name. Yes, we are justified in Jesus' name. So everything in short, my brothers and sisters, everything we do and say should be done in the name of Jesus. But the thing that I like to make an emphasis on today is about praying in the name of Jesus and issuing a command in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. You know, that name is known in three different words. In heaven, down here on earth, and even below the kingdom of the enemy. That name is respected. That name is known in those three different words. And the good news today is that Jesus has invited every born again Christian to use that name. To use his name. That's a very interesting thing to me as a Christian. Me, a mortal, a weakling, a man full of weaknesses, is invited or trusted by Jesus to use his name while I am still alive here on earth for one purpose, to advance the kingdom of God. So what does it mean, my brothers and my sisters, if you say in Jesus' name, or if you pray in Jesus' name? Well, the first one is you admit that if you do things in your name, however good your intention is, you admit the bankruptcy of your own name. I'm bankrupted because of sin. So I don't approach God. I don't do anything as it pertains to the things of God in my own name. But I do everything in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge my bankruptcy, and then I turn to God, I turn to Jesus, and I acknowledge the power and the authority that is innate in that name, the name of Jesus Christ. Let's take one analogy. Suppose there is one poor woman, very poor. She came from a very poor family. And then a very wealthy business young man falls in love with her. And he proposed her to be his wife. And they get married. And then what will happen? Well, what will happen is that this poor woman uses the name of her husband, and also she's entitled to everything that this young, wealthy businessman or young man has or his name entails. The same thing with us. How many of you believe that you have been married with Jesus Christ? I'm married with him. The moment I accepted him to be the Lord and Savior of my life, that's done. I get married with him. And the Bible says also in the book of Revelation in chapter 19, one day in heaven, his bride, meaning you and me, will be in heaven celebrating that wedding party between the bride and the bridegroom. So don't do anything in your own name because you are bankrupt. But do it in the name of Jesus. Because everything is in that name. The wisdom of God, the power of God, the riches of God, everything is comprised in that name. And number two, if you say, if you pray in the name of Jesus, it means you identify with the person of Jesus Christ. Meaning that when you use his name, you are acknowledging, you are confessing that he is yours and you are his. That is the significance of that. All of you understand about the banking system. So if you go to a bank, and how many believe, spiritually speaking, there is also a bank in heaven, the bank of God. I believe that. And the currency that you need to use for transaction there is your faith. So if you are going to the bank of heaven, my brothers and sister, and you know you don't have anything, if you want to do something with the banker, it won't profit you anything because you don't have anything there. Because you don't have nothing deposited there under your name. So don't go there in your own name. But remember this, dear church, that Jesus Christ, our Lord, has unlimited funds in heaven. He owns everything, and the Father has given him everything. Because he has completed the work of redemption for us. So Jesus has the funds in heaven. And this is the good news. He has granted you and me the privilege of going to that bank using his name. So write your own check, my dear brother and sister, today. Write your own check today in the name of Jesus. The next one is, if you say in the name of Jesus or in Jesus' name, that means you pray in his authority, not in your own authority. What's the meaning of authority? Sometimes people say power. Sometimes they say authority. Well, authority is something which is not coming from you, but from someone else, but you are given right to use that. That's the meaning of authority. You can act on behalf of somebody else. That's the meaning of authority. Very much like that funny story of a little child running to the intersection in the busy street. He's wearing the cap of the policeman. And then, because he has a very good intention. And then he just raised up his hand like this, but all the drivers see this cap the policeman had on him, but they obey. Not because of the strength, not because of the power of this little child standing at the intersection, but because the drivers respect and honor the insignia or the hat that he is wearing. Same thing, my brothers and sisters, in this life. If you are wearing the power of God, the authority that Jesus has given to you, the robe of righteousness that you are not weaving it yourself, but done by the death of Christ on the cross, and he gives it to you to wear, and you can stand up in life tall and strong, and the enemy doesn't have any choice. He will respect you, not because of yourself, but because of the authority vested in you by Jesus Christ. So So praying in Jesus' name is to ask by his authority and to ask by his power. And it is also to ask in accordance with his will as revealed in his word. If you pray or if you say in Jesus' name, it shows that you submit to his will. You know, the authority of Jesus, because God has delegated authority to him, the authority of Jesus rested on one thing. And what is that? It rests on his submission to the will of the Father. He doesn't act, he doesn't say, he doesn't preach, he doesn't heal, he doesn't do nothing out of his own will. But he does everything, whatever the Father directs or says or asks him to do. So it is the will of the Father that Jesus implemented here on earth when he was here with us physically. So we need to submit to his will. You know why many prayers are not answered? Because, as in the book of James it is said, you pray, you ask, but, well, it is not the will of the Father as the base. It is your own will, it is your own liking, it is your own passion, it is your own, what do you call it? It is coming from your own, not the will of the Father. So even if you receive it, you don't want to use that for the glory of God. So that's why many prayers are not answered, because those prayers are totally contrary to the will of God, or the will of God is always in line with his word. It is contrary to the word of God. God will never answer a prayer contrary to his word. So if I pray until my face turns black and blue, for example, God, please take the life of my enemy. Kill him, Lord. No, he will not answer that. So pray according to his will. If I say in Jesus' name, or I pray in the name of Jesus, that also means, it also shows that I show myself as his representative here on earth. I'm representing, you and I are representing Jesus Christ 24/7 here on earth. And that's the reason we are still alive. I strongly believe that God would have just taken me out of this life the moment I received salvation from him. But no, he doesn't do that, because he still wants me to represent him here in this life on earth. So thank God for the extension of life, extension of the years that he has given to each one of us. I mentioned earlier about the power of attorney. It's the same thing. The reason we are still here on this stage, we are still here in this life, is because God wants us to do his business here on earth. He wants us to act for him. He wants us to do the things of God on this earth for him. He wants us to do his interests, not our own interests here in this life. So back to that verse again that we read earlier in Mark 13:34. He gave every man his work. Remember that? He gave every man his work. My ministry, my work might be different from that brother, that sister's work as assigned by God. But that God does not just give work. The good news is he gives work and he gives authority. It will be very confusing if you are just assigned work without authority. It will be very hard. Don't do anything if you do work without authority. But in the kingdom of God, he assigns us work, the work of the kingdom, and along with that, he gives us authority to act for him. So as I said earlier, the meaning of authority is that you have the right to command obedience to the kingdom of the enemy. We have been talking about sickness. Let it out, let it out, let it out, brother Gaston said. If you just keep that authority in yourself, which has been vested in you by Jesus, it won't do any good for the kingdom of God. We have to let it out. We have to enforce it. And we have to act officially for our master, for our king, for Jesus, for our boss. Don't we know that we have, or Christ had authority over sickness and over the devil? And if the head has it, the body also has it. So we have the same authority. You too, as believer, have the right to command sickness in Jesus' name. You as believer also has the right to command the enemy to take off his hand from the life of someone you love. So we are here on this earth still for the purpose of enforcing obedience from the enemy. So let's act in the official capacity as the sons and as the daughters of the kingdom of God. Talking about authority, at one time, I think it was last year, Pastor Stan preached about the Roman centurion, a military man, a man who understands about authority. We don't have to read this in the interest of time. It is written in the book of Luke, but let me paraphrase this for you. The thing that brought healing to that centurion's servant is the authority which was in the name of Jesus over sicknesses. Jesus did not have to be present in the house of that centurion or his servants, where his servant is lying there. But he understands about the authority. He said, Lord, just speak a word. I understand about the line of command, about the authority. If I say to my servants, do this, he'll do that. Go there, he'll go there. Of course, I understand the kingdom of heaven also. I understand also about the flow of your power. If you just say a word, he has got this concept in his everyday work. So it is much easier for him to implement that or to appropriate that for the sake of his servant. Sure enough, Jesus marveled, I've never seen in Israel a person like this who understands about the concept of authority. And at that very same hour, the Bible says, the centurion's servant was healed. That's because of the authority which was present in the name of Jesus. So today, my dear brothers and sisters, if you have faith in the authority of the name of Jesus, your sickness can be gone. You can be healed. Just like Pastor Sun said, maybe after the meeting, we'll take some time to pray. Your brothers, your sisters, the elders can issue command to the enemy. You need to use the authority of Jesus that he has given to you. If you don't use that, it won't profit the church anything. So healing will come as you recognize that Jesus has authority over sickness. Let's remember Luke chapter 9, and it is in verse 1. That verse speaks about Jesus giving his disciples the authority, the same authority. So the authority that Jesus had is the same authority that he has given to his 12 disciples, to the 70, and to the church, to you and to me, right at this hour. The same authority. What is the authority? He says in that verse, verse 1 in chapter 9, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. We need to do this more often. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. I know of some churches, even when I was in Ontario, they are against the preaching about healing. I don't understand why they are against the healing. Well, Jesus did that. Jesus did preach about healing, and he practiced healing. The 12 disciples also did that. And if you read the Word of God all throughout the Bible, the Word of God preaches also healing. And we, the disciples of Jesus, the church of God, we are to preach also healing in the name of Jesus. Because God that you and I serve, he declares his name as the healer. He declared that to more than maybe 3 million people when the people left Egypt. He declared himself to those people, to the Israel people, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Whereas they live under the law, We, the people who live by grace, we should be able to appropriate that even more than the people who live under the law. Greater things are given to us for the glory of God in the latter time. So Jesus gave this power and authority to his disciples to heal people, to preach the gospel, and he sent them, and the power and authority rested on them. Things happened. Let me quote to you from Matthew chapter 10. Or let me paraphrase these two verses. Matthew 10, 1, and then in Luke 9, so I've mentioned verses 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, I give you authority over all." I like that word. Over all the power of the enemy. Over all the powers of the devil, over all the powers of hell, over every diabolical spirit or demon. So let's remember today, my dear brothers and sisters, that Jesus has given us the very same authority as his church, as his body, as his servants, to act for him. Jesus has gone to heaven. I mentioned earlier, I say it again. He has gone to heaven to prepare a glorious place for each one of us. Over 2,000 years, he has been there. I think personally, that place must have been very wonderful. Because from day one, he ascended up to heaven. Up to now, it has been taking over 2,000 years now. He is preparing still that place for us. It's almost ready now. It's almost ready to come. He's almost at the door. But while we are living in this interim, at this perilous time, this is the best opportunity for us to act for him, to use the power of attorney that has been put on our hands. And that word has power. If Jesus says, in my name, if it worked many thousands of years ago, it still works today. Hebrews 13:8 says, God doesn't change. Yesterday, today, and forever, his power, his love, his words remain the same. I'd like to close so that we have more time. Let me see. Yes, I'd like to close by saying, my dear brothers and sisters, this is very important, this one statement. Your authority releases God's power. Let me repeat. Your authority that has been given to you by God, if you use that authority, that will release God's power. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave is that very same power that will be released if you use your authority using the name of Jesus. So let's do that today. It's not complicated. You don't have to scream. You don't have to talk out loud like me today. Just in faith, if you believe, release that power. use your authority, God will honor the power of attorney that he has given to his church. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. So let's just believe that. Let's just believe that. I'm going to ask the music people to come on up. Just say this with me, in the name of Jesus. Okay, let's say it again, because we got to get better at this. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, in the name of Jesus, we can pray for healing. In the name of Jesus, we can ask for him to just come into our hearts today. In the name of Jesus, we can ask for an outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of Jesus, say it.
In the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Just say Jesus.
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 Amen. So while we sing this last song, if there's a need, you know, I think really that's what Jesus is. What do you want? What do you need today? Do you need to be healed? You need to be encouraged? You need just someone to pray for you today? Then just come. Come to the front. Come for prayer in the name of Jesus. And I like what Pauline said. It isn't magic. It isn't. We don't have to yell. We don't need to dance or jump around. We have the power. We just need to speak it and exercise it and take the authority. This first line, I'm glad you put it up there. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. I was listening to Kristen DeMarco, who wrote this song, and she explained the words of that, why she wrote that, because it's kind of hard to understand that first line. Grander earth has quaked before. She said, what I meant by that, she said, is that God's done bigger things than what I need. He's done, I have needs in my life. There's things I need to have God do. I need prayer. I need healing. But he's done such bigger things. He spoke the world into being. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Grander earth has quaked before. Other bigger things have quaked than the things that are quaking in me. You can come, you can ask him today, and you can be sure of this, that our God is big enough that he can handle whatever you're struggling with, whatever you need to be healed from. So I'm just going to ask Robin to sing. And I know it's getting late. We're not going to be too long here, but you just come up for prayer while this song is being sung. Let it be ministered to you. Let it minister to you. Grander earth has quaked before.
Grander earth has quaked before.
Just come on up anytime. Just come for prayer.
Moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred.
Through it all, my
That the wind and waves obey his name. The wind and waves obey his name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord give you his peace. We're in no hurry here, so if you need prayer, just come. I know there are more coming. In the name of Jesus, we declare today that there's victory and there's freedom. In the name of Jesus, we declare that no longer are we going to be under the thumb of this enemy who is a thief. In the name of Jesus, we declare life. Life in Jesus' name.